Hello and welcome to the C&D podcast. I'm Jo Shorthouse from C&D and you're listening to series 5 of A Coffee With, a podcast series where we sit down with some of pharmacy's most inspirational women to talk about all facets of women in pharmacy. In each episode, I'll be chatting to a different woman associated with pharmacy about their career, the issues of the day, as well as the industry in general. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll hear plenty of words of wisdom. So pour yourself a cup of your favourite hot beverage and join me for the latest instalment of A Coffee With. In this episode, we're welcoming Soba Sharma Khandel. Soba is Superintendent Pharmacist of Neem Tree Health and co-owner of 4 pharmacies in Southeast London. Soba graduated from the UCL School of Pharmacy in 2004. She gained her IP qualification in 2015 and an MSc in Pharmacy Practice in 2018 from King's College London. She is currently a part-time PhD student at the Medway School of Pharmacy. If that wasn't enough, Soba also works part-time as a clinical pharmacist in GP practice. Soba has won multiple awards for her work, and for her efforts during COVID, she attended a reception held at St James's Palace by King Charles for 200 frontline pharmacists. In her spare time, Soba volunteers for AFNO, which is the Advocacy for Nepalese Association, and she's believed to be the first pharmacy owner of Nepali descent in the UK. So, Soba, thank you so much for joining us today. I just wanted to start off by talking about how you actually got started in pharmacy. What made you want to study it in the first place?
Thank you for inviting me today, Jo. Main thing was, as a child, I remember being quite poorly and visiting pharmacies a lot to get antibiotics, and they always made me feel better. So it really triggered my fascination about medicines and science. I was quite fascinated how medicines work. So I chose pharmacy. Well, I seriously considered pharmacy as a career after kind of having work experience. I did work experience when I was in year 10 in Hammersmith Hospital in the pharmacy department. I also got a job during that time as a counter assistant in my local boot store on Saturdays. And the aspects I really enjoyed was interacting with patients and improving their health outcomes, seeing other pharmacists helping people. So that was really inspiring to me. I could see the immediate impact that pharmacists had on people's lives and how accessible they were as well. My parents came here in the early 70s, and language was a barrier to access healthcare. And it was hard to get a GP appointment for them. So I found a lot of the times pharmacy was like the first port of call in the community. So it's always been so important for me. So I was inspired by pharmacists with whom I worked in both community and hospital. And as I explored the pharmacy sector further, it was confirmed to be kind of the best career path for me. My parents also encouraged me, with Asians, it's normally kind of medicine or engineering, but actually my dad actually preferred pharmacy. He said, you know, it was a good profession, and he wasn't being sexist, but he said, especially for a female, he saw it having better work-life balance and more opportunity, for example, in entrepreneurship than, for example, medicine would have. So many factors came into play.
So how did you actually start off? How did you go from having this, you know, kind of thought as a child and being encouraged by your parents to actually getting started in your career?
Well, I had to focus on the sciences a lot. So I was naturally not very good at sciences. I was more kind of an artsy humanities type of student. So my fascination didn't actually correlate with what I was good at. So kind of really had to work hard. And I did become good at chemistry, especially as I started working harder in my subjects. Science became easier. I did A-levels in biology, chemistry and Latin to keep that artsy side. Had one non-science or maths A-level. And I applied to School of Pharmacy. That was my first choice, and I got in, thankfully. And degree was quite difficult, very science-based, very interesting, but it was quite a challenging degree. I did enjoy my time there, and after graduation, I did my pre-reg with Boots, so I still had my part-time job in Boots throughout my degree as well and during my A-levels, so just to keep in touch. And I was working in St. Mary's Hospital and Guy's in St. Thomas's as an undergrad kind of summer vocational placement student as well. So I was exploring different sectors of pharmacy. As a pre-reg, I decided to stay in community, so I continued my pre-reg in Boots. And I qualified in July 2005, and I worked as a relief pharmacist in Southeast London in Boots. So that was for a couple of years after graduation. I did really enjoy it, but I just found sometimes, working in a kind of corporate environment can restrict you as an individual, and also couldn't really kind of start new services or tailor services according to the community. So I didn't have that kind of freedom, let's say. So my husband is an entrepreneur, and we saw the local cooperative pharmacy on sale in 2009. And well, I was on maternity leave at twice, and I was working part-time in Boots, and he said, let's go for it. So we purchased our first pharmacy in 2009 in Abbeywood, Neemtree Pharmacy. And it was quite challenging, the journey into pharmacy entrepreneurship, but coming from a multiple where you've got a head office and everything's there for you. You've got a big support system to being independent and learning everything yourself. You are the head office, basically. It's difficult, and having little children, and husband's got quite a demanding career as an entrepreneur. He's traveling. So it was quite challenging the first few years, but somehow it worked. I mean, I think if you have a passion for what you do, you kind of, where there's a will, there's a way, you kind of make it work. And we did well. So we purchased our second pharmacy in 2013, Woolwich Late Night Pharmacy. So those were kind of the two main ones we had.
So now you own four pharmacies across Southeast London. So how did was that just an organic growth?
Yeah, it was, because I mean, in this area we found that we could make a real impact. Because being of Nepalese origin, it's an area where the second most spoken language is Nepalese, so that there's a big Nepalese community here, big ex-Gurkha community here, who have a lot of barriers accessing healthcare. So we became like a community hub, especially during COVID, with the vaccinations, and it just was a natural progression to offer more branches in the area. So in 2019 we opened our third branch in Plumstead, and after the pandemic we opened our fourth branch in Welling.
So obviously you were invited to I think it was St James Palace by as he was then Prince Charles to kind of to say thank you for all your efforts during COVID. That must have been nice to get that recognition.
Yes, it was an absolute honor and very amazing moment, privilege to be at that gathering. Yeah, definitely. There was 200 frontline pharmacists who were selected, and it was just amazing to see everyone who worked during COVID relentlessly and had such a big contribution. And they're all from community pharmacy. You feel like community pharmacy is kind of forgotten in pharmacy. There's other worlds that are more glamorous, like the pharmaceutical industry or hospital pharmacy. But it was really nice to see community pharmacists recognized for their contribution.
I think it sounds like that was a pretty amazing opportunity to get together with other community pharmacists that had come out the other side in a way. What are some of your other career highs apart from that one?
I'd say just it's not like big highs as such, but just little differences we make every day, like just helping someone with their medications, recognizing a potentially life-threatening condition and signposting them for treatment, getting thank yous for patients for making difference in their health. I also work as a GP practice pharmacist, so it's kind of linking both sides, seeing both sides of the picture, the whole patient journey from the GP to community. And little things make a big difference to patients, big difference to their health, because sometimes there's so many misconceptions and barriers, and having that shared decision making with patients is really important, and it's a privilege to be a part of that journey.
So we mentioned when you and your husband were buying your first pharmacy that you were on maternity leave twice. So not that that's a challenge for a woman, but have you faced any challenges specific to you being a woman in the entrepreneurial role that you've got?
Yes. When we bought the first pharmacy, so I was having my third baby, so I was already been through maternity leave twice when I was with Boots. So I was pregnant with my third one, so I was working until the last week of of pregnancy when we opened the first pharmacy. And then there was a COVID kind of, not COVID, swine flu pandemic going on then. So I was unfortunate to catch that in my line of work. And I was hospitalized postpartum for a week. So that was quite challenging. So I think the major challenge is balancing career and caring opportunities for women. It's very difficult because not only children, but, you know, you're caring for kind of elderly parents as well sometimes, or indoors, for example. So these challenges are quite unique to women, and they're more apparent during COVID when children had to be homeschooled. I found it hard to juggle childcare and homeschooling, and especially during COVID because I was the one going to work. That time I couldn't work remotely because the pharmacies were really busy. So yeah, compromise is definitely needed in order to achieve kind of a success or balance the career. It is challenging, but I think each woman's case is different, and we need to kind of see what works out for each individual and for their family. So I think being an entrepreneur is so good because I'm lucky I'm able to plan my own workload, and I have a strong support network as well at home, like close family network. So that really helps, makes a big difference.
So do you think that pharmacy is a good place for entrepreneurs to be, to actually work within?
I think it is good, but I think it's not the same as it was when I bought my first pharmacy in 2009. I think it's got more challenging with the NHS funding cuts. I mean, we're doing kind of a lot more work now, and for kind of less or similar remuneration than before. I mean, it's really great because I love the clinical aspect of pharmacy. So it's really great that Pharmacy First is here and we have all these clinical services. However, you know, the main bread and butter is still kind of dispensing still. There hasn't been kind of big changes to the supervision role of a pharmacist yet, even though it's under consultation. So I think balancing kind of your core job role and doing the services is quite difficult in the current climate. But it is a challenge, but it is doable and it's rewarding nonetheless. I mean, in our pharmacies, we do a lot of private services as well as NHS. So I think, you know, Pharmacy First, we've embraced with open arms. Me and my business partner, we're both prescribers. So, you know, we've always kind of thought out of the box. We've always wanted to have kind of, you know, different services in the pharmacy. So we really are happy with this, but it is challenging, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So you mentioned right at the beginning of our chat about, you know, your dad had said to you, oh, pharmacy is actually quite a good job for a woman because of the flexibility, and it's a really good profession. But was there any other kind of specific advice for pharmacy that you wish you'd been given at the start of your career?
I think the main thing was kind of not specific just to pharmacy. I mean, I wish I was told that, you know, there are other careers apart from just, you know, community and hospital or industry, because we didn't really know much about different career paths before. And now GP practice is a new career path where I really love working part-time in a GP practice where I can use my clinical and prescribing skills. But I think just thinking outside of the box of what is already there, kind of creating your own pathway, a vision of what you want to achieve in your career, working hard towards that goal, being brave and your authentic self, I think, and don't miss opportunities and be confident, because sometimes a lack of confidence and missing opportunities, you know, that hinders especially women, because I think we're not good at self-advocating for ourselves, but that is changing with the new generations for sure.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So thinking about, you know, kind of being a woman in pharmacy, what do you think needs to happen to make pharmacy a more rewarding or a more equitable career for females?
I think if you look at the data, I think there's not many pharmacists, like senior pharmacy leaders who are women. There's only 36% according to the GPHC. So I think we need to be more flexible, offer women more kind of friendly hours, remote working opportunities, job share options, because the working pattern is very male-centric, especially in the pharmacy world. It's long hours and, you know, job sharing and flexi working is not really encouraged. So I would probably think, you know, if women are able to advocate for their need, for their flexible hours, know their work rights and find ways to progress and take opportunities, that's good. also networking really helped. So I'm part of this female pharmacy leaders network, which helped to support, inspire other women and especially women of color to reach leadership positions. So that's been really helpful to me to network and meet other kind of inspiring female pharmacists and see how they're reaching their full potential in the profession.
Funny enough, you talk about inspiration there, but the this year's International Women's Day theme is Inspire Inclusion. So I was just wondering, which women have you looked to throughout your life as inspiration, perhaps in pharmacy, perhaps just, you know, in your personal life? Is there anybody that you really wanted to call out for being an inspiration?
In my personal life, I'd definitely say my mum, because coming to the UK from Nepal in the early 70s definitely must have been a huge cultural shock for her. And, you know, she faced many barriers, including language. So her resilience and strength, they always inspired me to achieve my best self. So even though she didn't have the opportunity to study or have a career, she gave me the opportunities, and she always encouraged me to reach my full potential in my career and studies. And she still does to this day. She's always been my greatest support. So definitely inspiring. In terms of pharmacists, someone who's really inspiring during my university days was Dr. Catherine Duggan. She's currently the CEO of the International Pharmaceutical Federation. She used to lecture for our clinical pharmacy modules, and listening to her would be really awe-inspiring. I mean, she was a trailblazer in those days as well. And she showed me the opportunities of what a woman can achieve in pharmacy. And she kind of helped me to think out of the box in terms of a pharmacy career. And her career portfolio is so impressive. So I'm always inspired by her. And probably two other role models. So one is kind of Rina Barai. She's a pharmacist that I look up to. She's achieved so much. And she's similar to me in the way that she's also a female Asian pharmacist contractor. But she's taken on leadership roles in NPA and the LPC, as well as the local PCN. And she also helps other women in pharmacy to achieve success and apply for leadership roles. She's one of the co-founders of the Female Pharmacy Leaders Network. Yeah, and the final one is my PhD supervisor. I'm also doing a part-time PhD, actually.
You're very busy so far.
Yeah, very, very, very busy. So Dr. Sukhvinder Bambara, she's a senior lecturer of pharmacy at Medway School of Pharmacy. So she's broken the barriers by being an Asian female academic in the field of pharmacy and ethnobotany.
I'm sure you're going to be, or you already are, an inspiration to other female pharmacists that want to become entrepreneurs as well. I just wanted to ask you finally, what are you most excited about for the future of women in pharmacy? There's so much on the horizon, and I guess the generation that our pharmacists now have had more inspiration from their elders and opportunities to work within pharmacy. But is there anything you're particularly excited about for the future of women in pharmacy?
I think I'm really kind of excited about, you know, now that we're able to network more and we're all sharing our stories and our struggles and listening to other colleagues around me in the Female Pharmacy Leadership Network and other channels. They inspire me, and I hope others by sharing our stories. And I'm excited that there will be more female kind of leadership in the pharmacy profession in future. So I think having more female leaders in the profession will bring a unique perspective and experience to the table, and leading to more innovation and decision-making. I think now women are being more empowered to take on these roles, and we can break down gender barriers and create more inclusive work environments and drive better business and health outcomes for people.
That was Soba Sharma Kandel there, talking about her road to entrepreneurship. We talked about inspiring women, realistic pieces of advice, and meeting the king, as well as serving the Nepalese community through community pharmacy. For more news and updates on CND's Women in Pharmacy group, please check out the CND community via our website, chemistanddruggist.co.uk. Thank you for listening.